Hello, Worcester Naz. Welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. We live in a culture that obsesses over the need to find a mate. Everywhere you look, the media pushes the need to find your soulmate. But what does the Bible say? Is there value in singleness? Find out on episode 2 of Aim High with Pastor Nate.
We're continuing our series called Aim High, and this series is based out of a book called Relationship Goals, and I would highly recommend you read it. You're going to hear a lot of familiar material. If you have read it, or if you do read it, you will hear a lot of familiar material. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal book by Michael Todd, Pastor Michael Todd. So as we continue in this Aim High series, we're going to dive deeper this week into what we're going to call the progression that leads us to the healthy, thriving relationships that God has intended for us. And again, I want to emphasize relationships. We're not just talking about a singular relationship. We're talking about all of them. Because as we know, around here, relationship matters. Everything rises and falls on relationship. And when we think about romantic relationships in particular, which I'm going to be talking a little bit about today, many of us have a very skewed view of how we as people should progress through the process due to the impact of movies and now, unfortunately, social media and just culture in general. And I have to say, the church has not been immune to this. I think a lot of times because we drape it up in scripture and really bad plaques that we hang on our wall and really poor self-help books, we think that we've created something unique and holy when really we've just kind of followed the pattern of the world. But here we go, and I can't believe I'm about to do this. But I'm sure you've heard this little childhood thing. And just for the sake of you all, I'll use my own. Nate and Kayla sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes, then comes, then comes. There you go, you know it. For many of us, this song was probably our introduction to relationship progress and processes. And I'm going to tell you right now, I remember the first time I ever heard it in Parkatot, in West Side Church of the Nazarene, a little girl named Angie Spears who was missing her two front teeth and had cute little blonde pigtails that I kind of became friends with and kind of, you know, kicked rocks around, you know, that kind of thing. And hearing a bunch of kids taunt me during recess with that very little rhyme. For many of us, this is our first even thought about the progress of relationships. Love, marriage, baby. It's vague, it's incomplete, but it seems simple enough. But I want to say that, honestly, not to make another Parks and Rec reference, but I'm gonna, I think Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec actually had it much more accurate. Ron and Diane sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. Do you hear that bird? I think that's a much more accurate and fitting version of this. As we grow up, we soon realize that this progression, this norm, is actually not anything close to what our society does and how it performs in relationships. From what I see on TV and online, it's almost like the competition is not to see who can have the best relationship, but who can have the most creatively out of alignment relationship possible. Movies with you know, really good relationships all the way through are really boring. They're flops. Nobody likes them because they want that drama. They want the will he or won't he, will she or won't she kind of thing. So based out of that progression, today I want to actually offer a different progression than what our mixed up culture offers us. And I love this because I get to talk about the S word today. And it's a thing that we often complain about not talking about in church. We often don't talk about it in church. And when we do, it's with hushed tones that we don't really want anybody to hear. And that S word is singleness. And the progression is this: not love, marriage, baby, but it's singleness dating, engagement, marriage, then love, and then children. And we're going to hear this throughout this series, this progression. And it's all based around this idea. We must first know ourselves and know who we are in Christ before we can ever hope to be in a healthy relationship with somebody else. And again, this is not just a romantic relationship I'm talking about. I'm talking about your friendships, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your kids, all of it. You must first know yourself and know who you are in Christ in order to have a healthy relationship with others. So coming back to this, all of us at some point, we're far enough into it now, had a lot of our awakenings to relationships or our idea of relationships built around things that we saw on television. I doubt there's enough here to reference radio dramas, so I'll leave that alone for now. But for me, I remember the very first person I saw on the TV that kind of stirred me a little. And it was Ariel from The Little Mermaid. I'm telling you, man, that scene where she gets up on the rock and the wind's blowing her hair and everything just splashes up. I mean, come on, it did something to my little six-year-old self. I don't know. But then it quickly progressed from that to Winnie Cooper. Yeah, all you 80s kids, you're going to know that one. If you don't, just go look it up. Come on. And then not long after that, it was Ashley from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who was quickly replaced by Jackie Ames from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, just for one season, who I would later find out was supermodel Tyra Banks. And then finally, when I moved on from the progression of, oh, I'm just interested in a girl that's on TV, to actually being informed about what a relationship should look like, was the pinnacle of all television relationships, Corey and Topanga from Boy Meets World. That's right. That's right. I actually had a picture on my phone as is a picture of Topanga from right around mid-series, and it says, "You never forget your first love." My wife didn't love that, but it's true. I mean, what are you going to do? But I watched all the drama that unfolded week to week on Boy Meets World, and you know, Corey and Topanga were it. They were together. They were supposed to be together. They were meant to be together right from the very start, all the way from the moment they were out of diapers all the way until, you know, whatever happened when the series ended. And so I set up this ideal of drama and ridiculousness that I wanted to be in. I looked at that and I said, that's what I want. And the reality is that our concept of relationships, our concept of being single or being in a relationship, is largely formed just like that by the world and not by Scripture or the Holy Spirit. And so just to illustrate that point, I want to ask a couple of questions. And I'm not going to be slapping anybody's wrist today. I'm just going to give you a little bit of information. So how many of you who are sitting next to someone who you are married to or hoping to marry or engaged to be married to or wish you weren't married to, how many of you would say, when I found this person, I found my soulmate? Let me see your hands. How many? Okay, all right. How many of you have any idea where that comes from? See, a lot of people look at that scripture in Song of Solomon that says, "I have found the one that my soul loves," and they think that's what it is. If you look at the context, no. She's just referring to, "Hey, I was looking for this guy who I already loved, and oh, there he is. I found him." She was just being very flowery about it. The concept of the soulmate comes from Plato's Symposium. And the concept is this. Humanity once was just made up of these circular beings. There was male, which had two males, female, which had two females, and the androgynous one, which had male and female put together. And they were just these round beings that were rolling around all over the earth. And as beings did during Greek mythology, they eventually got a little too big for their britches, and they wanted to go up to Mount Olympus and take on Zeus. And big surprise, they did, and they lost. And as punishment for this, Zeus came along and said, "I am going to rend these beings in two so that they will never, ever be whole again and be able to come against me." And then he realized, well, if I do that, I'm going to wipe out a whole generation of people that could worship me. So I'll make them compatible, but they have to find each other. So your entire concept of a soulmate is based on something out of Plato's Greek poetry. It's not in the Bible. You won't find it there. And I'm sorry, it's just as real as Zeus is. Unfortunately, we've also drawn this idea of the one. There is the one who I have to find. And How I Met Your Mother did this so well. Ted chasing around, constantly trying to find that one, the one, the one, the one. And if you've, I won't spoil it for you, but if you've seen the show all the way through to its end, the one who you think is the one, but it's not the one that he's talking about. So you'll find out about that if you watch it through. Just give it a look. But we get obsessed with this concept of the one. And quite honestly, in the 80s and 90s, purity culture in the church really ran away with this one. Because we didn't want teenagers having sex with each other. We pushed this concept of there's this perfect one for you. And if you do anything sexual with anybody ever, or think about it, or talk about it, then you're going to mess it up and you're not going to get that one. And God's just going to give you leftovers or second best. I can't tell you how many terrible messages I heard preached with that exact core message. So we've bought into this idea, and with it has come this idea that the only time we will ever be fulfilled, the only time we'll ever fully realize who we are and what we're meant to be, is when we find our soulmate, when we find that one who completes us. Yes, that was a Jerry Maguire reference. I'm just happy I get to reference a bunch of movies today, I'm gonna be honest. And this is why singleness has become a dirty word for us. Because if you're not married, if you're not pursuing a relationship, there's something wrong with you. You've made choices that were sinful. You're not actually following God's plan for your life. You're stiff-arming the image of God that comes through in marriage, which that's a whole nother thing that I'll talk about. Singleness has become a byword for sadness in the church. And I want to say, if our Lord himself was single, it ain't sinful, there's nothing wrong with it, and we need to adjust our thinking. So I'm going to talk a few points here about singleness. And let's start with this one. Being single is not popular. It's not popular in the world. It's not popular in the church. The only time it almost became popular was when Beyonce did that stupid song that I was going to play and do a little bit of the dance to, and then I realized that we can't do that for copyright reasons, and I was immediately thankful. And that's the only, like, single pride song that you'll find out there. But even that song, you get some girl who's just been dumped by her guy, and she goes out with all of her friends, we don't need guys, whatever, and five or six drinks in, they're all blubbering about how she's better off without him, and there's going to be somebody better, and oh, wouldn't he just... It's not even about being single. It's about flaunting your singleness to the person who should really be with you. The unyielding pressure from our culture to find a mate eventually leaves you feeling abandoned and shameful, like a failure, like you've done something wrong. And it's reinforced by what we do in culture, and it's obvious, honestly reinforced by what we do in the church. And what happens is these feelings start to cloud our judgment, and they cause us to rush into relationships that we should never be in, simply to satisfy others or to satisfy our own fear of failure of being alone. And these decisions have serious consequences that can cause relational damage that is absolutely devastating. I have seen marriages where people have gotten married just because they thought this was their only shot. And there were all kinds of red flags in the relationship, but they were just happy that they weren't alone. And it goes on both sides. I'm not taking a swing at women here. Both sides have done this. And the fear of being alone so overwhelmed them that they walked headlong into something that was worse than being alone. And I think because singleness is not popular, we lose a lot of the good things that come with it. Michael Todd says this: our high divorce rate may have less to do with bad marriages and more to do with bad singleness. I'm going to say that again. Our high divorce rate may have less to do with bad marriages and more to do with bad singleness. We spend all of our time as a single person wishing that we were with somebody, that one. Number two, even though it's not popular, being single is valuable. I remember hearing a comedian, Paul Aldrich, one time say, he had just been married within a few weeks of this album that I listened to, and he said, "I found that the best part of being married is not being single." And I think that's how we operate far too often. We just want to do it, get singleness out of the way, because there's nothing there for us. Singleness is just what happens before you find the person. But in this, 1 Corinthians 7:7, this is in the Message. This is Paul speaking. "Sometimes I wish everyone were single like me. A simpler life in many ways, but celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is." I'll say that again. Celibacy is not for everyone any more than marriage is. God gives the gift of single life to some and the gift of married life to others. The reality is that singleness may be the most important part of the relationship process. And this is why, and again, coming back to our idea at the beginning, what did I say? That we must first know ourselves and who we are in Christ before we can hope to have healthy relationship with others. Matthew 22, 37 through 39 in the NLT says this. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And in order for this to work, after first loving God, after giving everything that we are to him, in order for the relationship with others to work, we must first love ourselves before we can hope to truly love other people. And a lot of times that doesn't seem like a very Christian thing to do. We want to be self-deprecating and we want to be seen as humble. And so we'll talk ourselves down and we'll be critical of ourselves in ways that we would never talk about somebody else. We spend our time hating things about ourselves and don't realize that we're crippling our ability to love others. And I want to say there is no way you can figure out how to love somebody else well in a relationship if you've not first figured out how to love yourself in singleness. And this is where all of our bad habits of relationship come out of, where we come to the point where we just need another person. They're going to fulfill us. They're going to complete us. They're going to give us all these things that we need, and they end up failing us in one way or another, and we end up more miserable than we were before. But in seasons of singleness, whether it's a temporary season, whether it's somebody here who has just lost a spouse and they're now single after years of a great marriage, or whether you just know marriage is not for you, it's not something you're going to go into, singleness is valuable because it allows you to draw close to God in ways that someone who has their interests divided through marriage cannot and does not do. And that gets me to my third point. Singleness allows you to focus on your relationship with God. To learn to love yourself the way God intended, you have to build a relationship with God who is love. And this isn't just about being saved. This is about the process of growing in grace and relationship with him. Paul said this again in 1 Corinthians 7:32 through 35. "I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities, how to please her husband. I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best. And based on other things that Paul said, I said, whether that's being married or being single, with as few distractions as possible. So often we squander our singleness. And we lose out on the intimacy and connection that we can achieve with Christ. And it's time we won't get back. Now, let me be clear here. I know I'm taking a really hard swing at a lot of things with marriage. I love marriage. I love being married. I am one who just always knew I was going to get married, always wanted to get married. And then I met Kayla and I really knew I wanted to get married. Like, I am not critical of marriage at all. It is a beautiful thing. It is a God-ordained thing. But I do think that to some degree, in the church especially, we have made an idol of it. We've taken reference to the church being the bride of Christ, and we've somehow laid marriage over it and said, well, this is a perfect example of unity of Christ. He was just using it as an example. This is not like some great mystical when, no. It is a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful relational connection, but it is not everything. In a season of singleness, or in a life of singleness, there is a devotion and a relationship with God and a closeness with God that you can achieve that is very difficult in other seasons of life. And not only that, but if you're somebody who's single, who's hoping to get married, singleness gives you the opportunity to build on your strengths, to work on your weaknesses, and move toward fulfilling the purpose that God is planting in your heart. The only way that you can be sure of what you're looking for is to find yourself. And once again, that always starts with finding Christ first. Again, going back to that scripture, we start with loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the foundation. That's the basis of everything else. But then we come to love your neighbor as yourself, and that has to start with what's happening internally in you. Coming back to the idea of the one, I will say there is one aspect in which it is true, and that is this. The one that you are looking for is not any person that you are going to find on this earth. The one who will fulfill you, the one who will give you peace, the one who will meet your needs without failing you, and that is Christ himself. We've made an idol out of the relationship of marriage, the thing that we want to have, that is beautiful and is unique and is wonderful. But we have literally set it up in place of the relationship we are to have with Christ. And we've got to shake that. We've got to shake it in the way that we talk to ourselves if we're single, and we especially have to shake it in the way that we as the church, as the people of God, talk to people who are single. They have value. They have something to offer. They have relationship and intimacy that they need to be a part of with us, whether they're married or not. And I got to be honest, one of the ways that we've done this very poorly is we stiff-arm people because it's like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to bring this single person around my married group of friends because what if they become attracted to someone's husband or wife? And what if, how secure is your marriage in the first place? That's not about them. That's about you. You got something you got to deal with there. They have something to offer us, and we have something to offer them relationally. They're not broken. They don't need fixed. They don't need set up with somebody. They have value because of what Christ has done in them, and we need to treat them accordingly. And my final point is this. Being single does not mean that you are alone. Isaiah 4:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God is always with you, working on your behalf, and he wants to help you grow. In singleness, he offers us the time necessary to develop character, work ethic, intelligence, and emotional health that it will take to naturally nurture a healthy and whole relationship with other people. And again, not just a relationship in a romantic sense. We need to be whole and healthy, not just for a future spouse or a hopeful spouse, but for those that we interact with every day. I need to be that because of my relationship with my siblings, because of my relationship with my parents, the way I relate to the people on staff here with me, the way I relate to you guys, and the way we relate to each other. Part of our pursuit of holiness and wholeness is, yes, all about drawing closer to God, but it's also about us drawing closer together as the body of Christ. With all of our bumps and all of our bruises and all the ways we annoy each other. Because as we pursue wholeness in him, as we pursue oneness with him, it will naturally draw us together. And the relational friction that we experience will help rub off all of those nasty edges that we have. He will use our relationships with each other to refine us for his glory. Deuteronomy 31:6. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will never fail you or abandon you. If you're single today and you're dealing with a bunch of people who are nipping at your heels trying to get you married off, or trying to tell you that you're missing something in your life, or you're not going to be whole until you find that person, remember who goes before you. Be defined by the one who goes before you. Forget them. Most of them aren't even happy in their marriages anyway. They just want you to be as miserable as they are. For those of you who are in that season of singleness and it keeps you up at night and it feels just like loneliness, they're not the same thing, let me tell you. But it feels like loneliness. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In your season of singleness, whether it's long, whether it's short, whether it's temporary, whether it's permanent, dig into prayer and allow God's peace to reassure you daily that he has good plans in store for you, that you have value just as you are, that you have something to contribute to the world and to his church just as you are. We must first know ourselves and know who we are in Christ. As my dad likes to say, I am a child of God, before we can ever be in a healthy relationship with someone else, whoever that someone else may be. So what do we do with this? How do we move forward with something like this? And give us four things here. First of all, reject the way that our culture, including the culture in the church, tells us relationships should work, and embrace God's standard, which is him first, me second, and then outward from there. Number two, if you are single, don't be discouraged. And don't just be looking for the next person to grab up to marry. Instead, make the decision today that you are going to go on a journey in order to grow and mature into the person that God has created you to be. Because that's where you're going to find your fulfillment. If you're not fulfilled in that way first, marriage will be a miserable long thing. Gosh, I can't believe I'm going to quote this, but I remember hearing Shirley MacLaine say once, life is short, but marriage is long, so drink a lot and the time will go faster. While I don't actually endorse that or recommend it, it's true. Life is too short for a miserable marriage. Don't go rushing into it just because you think there's something that you've not fulfilled. Find your fulfillment in Christ. Find your fulfillment in who God created you uniquely as a person to be. Church, we need to stop holding up marriage as the ideal for everyone. It's not. Again, as Paul said, some are given the gift of singleness, some are given the gift of marriage, and they are equal. One is not better than the other. In fact, Paul would probably make the argument that one is better than the other, but I'm not going to go into that. We must value singleness in the same way that we value marriage. It is just as holy, it is just as beautiful, and there is just as much value in it. And finally, church, this is a big one for us. Include your single friends in your circle. And that means with families, sometimes when a bunch of couples are going out, take a single person with you, take a couple single person with you, not trying to get them together. Don't do it out of pity, but do it because they have value, input, and something to give relationally exactly where they are. I believe very much in the relationship that is the church, that is the body of Christ. I am living proof that being in and a part of the church and making the church your life can lead to extraordinary things and lead to a confidence in your relationship with Christ that being separated cannot. I'm a big believer in marriage. The intimacy that's there, the relational connection that's there. While I don't believe in the concept of the one, I know that for me, Kayla has become and is continuing to become my one. And will continue to until the day one of us dies. And I love it. And I wouldn't want it any other way. But I also believe in the beauty and value of singleness. You are complete and whole as you are. You have been redeemed by the same blood, covered by the same salvation, given the same type of giftings and graces, been filled with the same Holy Spirit, whether you're married or single. Wherever we are on this journey, whether singleness is something in our rearview mirror, or at least seems to be, there's going to come a time, married happily though you may be, where you're going to be single again. Whether that's through death, whether that's through a relational breakdown that you can't even imagine right now. Singleness is a reality for all of us. We cannot get our value wrapped up in another person that we can lose. Anytime we build our hope on something that we can lose, we're destined for a crash. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust even the sweetest, most beautiful frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Everybody stand with me. Father God, I thank you that you see us as we are. In all of the beauty, in all of the flaws. And that you have come to us. You have looked upon us and said, I want to have a relationship with that person. And you have pursued us. I thank you that you are faithful in every season of life. And I thank you that you do not leave us as we are, but that your love is continually transforming us. God, for those of my brothers and sisters here that are single today, I pray that they would take peace and comfort in knowing that they can lean into relationship with you. I pray for a boldness for them to step into the places of leadership, to step into the places of influence that you have for them, not feeling like they need to wait for somebody else to come along, but that they would realize that they have their somebody else in you already. For those of us that aren't single, I pray that you would change our mindsets, change the way that we see those that are single, so that it can lead to a difference in the way that we treat those that are single. Open our eyes to people's value and their worth as they are right now. Father, I thank you that you have made a way for us to know you and for us to know who we are in you. I thank you for your blood and your love that have saved us. And that are still working on and transforming us day by day. In Jesus' name.